You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702 Afternoons
with Relebogile Maboja. Let's walk the talk.
So you're not going to find anything about it in medical textbooks, probably. But if you are a parent boomeranging in and out of your pediatrician's rooms with an endlessly sniffing baby or toddler, chances are you've heard of creche syndrome. And it's a colloquial term referring to a cycle of infections, usually upper respiratory, that unfortunately commonly afflict little ones regularly attending play school, preschool, creche, nursery school, all of those things. 011-883-0702. If you've got a comment or a question, 072-702-1702, send through your messages, questions, or your voice notes. We're joined by Michelle Carlos, the founder and CEO of Feel Good Health. Michelle, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Relebogile. Thank you for having me in the show, and hi to the listeners.
I'm feeling so nervous about this conversation because actually when my producer, Jonathan, came through and said, you know, what do you think of this? I was like, this is exactly where I am in life at the moment. We were scrambling in preparation for the one-year-old to get started at nursery school. And we're very nervous for that exact reason of creche syndrome where, you know, so many people are like, but they're going to get sick and it's winter and. So maybe help us understand, Michelle, just to start. I mean, yes, I've given a hint as to what the term refers to, but maybe there's certain things that creche syndrome covers that we may not be aware of.
Yes, really, Bukhili, they told me that you were a mom of young children and that you would especially enjoy this interview. And as you said, creche syndrome isn't a diagnosis that you'll usually hear at the doctor's room. It's because it's not a disease or an illness, but it is a syndrome, which means that it's an ongoing cycle of infections like colds and flu and gastro, tonsillitis, ear infections, or even sometimes skin infections that happen in young children at daycare. Mm. And what happens is that they seem to have one infection after the other, and gradually as they go on, their immune systems get weaker and weaker and weaker. They get less able to resist the infections, and they get more infections, and the parents feel like they're just living in the doctor's office. Very often, you know, the creche says or the preschool says your child can't come to school because they're not well, which means having to take off work. And it's just a cycle that's exhausting. The parents aren't sleeping, the children aren't sleeping, and the whole family is really affected by it. So that's what creche syndrome is. It's a cycle, ongoing cycle of infections that children have at daycare.
So my question then, I mean, something that made, you know, the hairs on my arms and back stand up is when you said that eventually the immune system suffers, because my understanding is that this is actually quite an important part of them growing up and developing their immune systems, you know, getting those antibodies and preparing their immune systems for the reality of actually living day-to-day life as a human being.
You're absolutely correct, and that's such a brilliant question, because that is true, is that when a baby is born, they don't have an immune system of their own. They don't have any immunity against all of these viruses and bacteria and funguses and et cetera, and they only have the antibodies that they obtain from their mother. So they need to come into contact with these viruses or bacteria so that their own bodies can begin to build up immunity. But it depends very much on how you handle it as to whether you're going to be assisting your child to build up strong immunity and getting them through this phase, or whether you're going to be working against the body by doing things which parents often would do because they think it's the right thing, but in fact it isn't really the right thing to do. So how it's handled is an important thing. Yes, ultimately their immune systems are going to strengthen and they are going to get out of this phase more or less as they go into, you know, big school.
Yes.
But it very much hangs on how you manage it, as to how quickly they will get over and build their own immune system up.
So before we get to the how we manage it, would other things like your tummy bugs be included in the Kresh syndrome? I mean, they maybe are not as common as your respiratory infections, but obviously we know kids, you know, lick each other, share food. There's like, there's no boundaries at all.
Absolutely.
So if one has something, even if it's, you know, some bug that is causing diarrhea and vomiting and things like that, would that be considered something that can also affect the immune system badly?
Yes, it would be part of it. And I mean, you'll often find on, you know, social media sites like Mamahood, for example, you'll see moms asking, is there something going around? My little one's vomiting or they have diarrhea and it's spreading through the family. And so definitely it can be any infection, even, for example, ringworm, skin conditions. Ringworm is not a very frequent infection normally, but what we've been seeing more frequently now is a spate of ringworm, and really what that comes down to is that the little immune systems are weakened, and so they are more, they're less resistant to things which wouldn't even be very common under normal circumstances. So I think COVID also plays a big part in it. Because you know, there's repeated infections of all kinds, but also COVID has sort of given the immune system quite a big knock for adults and for children. And then, you know, in the, for example, in the last pandemic that there was earlier on in the century, they found that after the pandemic, there were quite a lot of opportunistic infections that were more common because immune systems were less strong after repeated bouts of you know, of the virus. So it's exactly what we're seeing now. I mean, I have grandchildren, and all three of them at different schools have come up with ringworm without even being in contact with each other.
Wow.
So they picked it up at school. And there are a lot more opportunistic infections that kids are coming up. So yes, Kresh syndrome was a problem even before COVID, but I think it's been exacerbated by COVID.
Yes. So if now, let's talk about what preventative measures before the child goes to creche. I've seen, you know, at the pharmacy, there are multivites that are specifically like to boost a child's immune system, specifically for kids that are starting at creches. What would you advise is the correct course to go prior to a child going to creche?
So that's a good thing, because what we're talking about now is prevention, and as we know, prevention is always better than cure. So the thing to do to prevent any illness or to make the child stronger is to look at things like diet and lifestyle and sleep and exercise and all of those things. So usually, you might have discovered it, but a lot of moms also come to us in desperation saying, yes, it's all very well to talk about, you know, having a balanced diet, but all my kid will eat is just 2-minute noodles and nothing else.
I want to cry hearing you say that, because that's where I am in life. Is also, he's learned the art of spitting. So it's like they want beige food. They just want beige food.
they want beige food. So you wanting to give them all the lovely greens and orange and, you know, the all the very nutrient rich foods, and all they want to eat is beige food. So there, you know, one doesn't want to build up a battle about food with children. So there, those multivitamins are very, very important, because normally the kiddies ones, you know, you try and look for one that's what we call clean, a clean multivitamin for children. Don't give them adult multivitamins. Whatever you do, you need to get the right quantity. So you look for a clean one, and by clean I mean the least artificial ingredients in it as possible, and one that they like. So there are multivitamins, especially for kiddies, that they actually will eat like sweets. So you have to keep them hidden away.
Yes.
They won't moan and groan and cry when you try and give it to them. And what that's going to do is it's going to make sure that without having to fight about what they're eating, they're going to get all the vitamins and the minerals and the trace elements that they need. And it's a brilliant thing for any parent to do, because then you don't have to worry. You don't have to fight with them. One more spoon, two more spoons, or I'll give you a chocolate if you finish your food.
Yes.
Anything like that. It's just a vitamin. And then obviously sleep. is often a topic for parents as well that we deal with a lot. But healthy sleep hygiene, going to bed at a certain time and getting up at a certain time every day, every night, trying to make sure they have enough sleep, that their sleep is as undisturbed as possible. And then exercise, if you think about it, we always talk about the immune system, but we don't really know what this mysterious thing is. And one of the things about the immune system is that we have a system called lymph glands in our body and a substance called lymph, which carries all the antibodies and lots of other things throughout the body. But unlike the heart, it doesn't beat, so it doesn't move around by itself. And it's by exercising that the lymph moves around the body and it helps with immunity. So not too much sitting on the couch and watching TV,
yes.
Lots of running around, lots of fresh air is also very good for immunity. So those are the basic things that you can do to prepare your child for going into daycare.
Can I also just ask then, Michelle, would that possibly include, because obviously you spoke about keeping the sleep and their routine going, would that mean that ideally, especially the smaller your child is to maintain whatever that routine is over the weekends?
Yes, definitely. Because, you know, children, biologically, we don't recognize weekend and week. We recognize day and night. So to make sure that they stay in a good routine, you need to, especially younger children. Older children, sometimes you can get away with it, but younger children, they need to have a consistent bedtime. They need to have a consistent nap time that must suit them, not us, because otherwise you're not going to build up that pattern of their body must know when it's sleep time, it must know when it's waking time.
We've got a WhatsApp that says, thank you so much for this topic, Lebogile. I'm going through this since our daughter started creche. So let's move on then to, once you have gotten started with them and they're starting to have this thing of getting sick, and maybe you can share with us, Michelle, we've touched on COVID and how it's affected our immune systems, but would you say that they're more likely to be kept at home more often with the bugs going around because of the pandemic, whereas prior, you know, a little runny nose, you wouldn't keep your baby from going to creche. Would you say that now is possibly a negative in them developing their immune systems, even though, yes, it's a positive in terms of not spreading COVID?
Yes, I think so, because, you know, every time their bodies start to get used to something, they're going home for a week and then coming again and being confronted with the same thing. But on the other hand, it is a necessary thing. So one can understand what the daycare centers and creches are doing when they're trying to, you know, control the spread of something within the school.
Yes. Okay. So you were saying now, once they get those first signs, which are a runny, and I'm talking early signs, the runny nose, the scratchy throat, before it starts developing into a cough, maybe there's a bit of a sneeze, what would you advise a parent to do?
What I think is very important is for us to understand what the functions of these symptoms are. So obviously the illness would be the infection, but the symptoms are the runny nose, the cough, the fever, things like that. Those are the symptoms, and those are what is really the most bothersome for us. And it's the most important place to look when one wants to look at treatment and prevention, because if we understand what the body is trying to do, then we can work with the body and not against the body. So what happens when the body detects, your immune system detects a virus, for example, it will try its best to get rid of that virus. And the way that it does it is by it makes your nose run, it pushes up your temperature a bit because the virus doesn't survive in a higher temperature. It will make you cough to kind of get rid of the viral load. It makes you sneeze to get rid of the viral load. And that is what very often people see, and then they want to suppress that. So they want to take something that brings down the fever. They want to take something that stops the nose from running. They want to take something that stops the child from coughing. Now, obviously, I'm not saying you shouldn't treat your child, but I think you need to look at the symptoms and ask yourself, at what point do they really need that treatment? So if the nose is running and the mucus is clear, let it run. It's wonderful. It's doing what it's supposed to do. Mm. If the child develops a small fever, it's not a problem. But if they've got a fever which is, say, over 38 and it's persistent, it doesn't come down, then you might want to do something about the fever. If they're coughing a lot, obviously you want them to be able to sleep, but you don't take medicine to stop the cough or take medicine to stop the sneezing, because it's actually getting rid of the virus and helping the child to recover quicker. So with that kind of understanding, you know, don't dry out a runny nose. Don't try and stop the coughing. Let that happen. It might be more severe for a day or so, but then it will go away much quicker. And then also understand the role of antibiotics. So most doctors these days have come to realize what I've been saying for the past 20 years, that antibiotics don't treat viruses. They treat bacterial infections. If you're going to give an antibiotic for a viral infection...
Oh, yes, I was about to say, as in viral infection, because... and I'm glad you're clarifying, because the number of times I've gone to the doctor having, you know, major respiratory issues, there have been times where they're like, this is a viral infection. Antibiotic is going to do nothing for you.
Yes, so that's exactly correct. So if it's a viral infection and you're taking an antibiotic, that will only weaken your system further. And even worse, it means that when you need that antibiotic, it's not going to be as effective, because your body will have built up a resistance to the antibiotic. And not only your body, but everybody's with overuse of antibiotics. So good doctors will not just give routine antibiotics. Where the antibiotics are necessary sometimes is where there's been a secondary infection. So the primary viral infection has turned into a secondary infection, which has become a bacterial infection. And then the antibiotics obviously are useful, but not for every little cough and cold and sneeze. So know that the majority of good doctors will not prescribe an antibiotic, and they will tell you, this an antibiotic won't help here. Mm. But there unfortunately are some doctors that do prescribe antibiotics very quickly when it's unnecessary. And I think it's up to you as a parent to ask questions. Why are you prescribing the antibiotic? What are you expecting it to do? So that you can know why. Don't be in awe of your doctor. It's just a person with a lot of knowledge. Speak to the doctor, and most good doctors will appreciate that as well. And then, for example, instead of trying, as I said, to get rid of the runny nose and the cough and so on, there are a lot of natural things that one can do. For example, you know, you can use essential oils like eucalyptus or pine needle oil, which are known to be decongestants. Put them in a cold mist diffuser in the bedroom, and during the nighttime, that will help to open the child's chest. That will help to open the nasal passages so the child can breathe better. Plus, those essential oils have their own antiviral properties, which will help the body to recover. You can also put a few drops of them into the bath when they get into the bath so that they can inhale the steam. You know, in the old days with our grannies, they all made us steam inhalations.
Yes.
We all remember those? Now they knew what they were doing. So, you know, essential oils and cold mist diffusers, or just putting them into the bath, will really help to clear the chest and the nose naturally without drying it up, which is a very, very important thing.
I've really found that a warm humidifier, especially now we're in winter with a lot of heaters that are on in people's homes, they're drying the air quite a bit.
Yes.
For myself and my chest issues, a warm humidifier has worked quite well. But very quickly, Michelle, great a question that's come through on WhatsApp says, hi, great topic. Which meds should we have in the cupboard for the little ones that can prevent going to the doctor but can help with the recovery? So maybe this is just the absolute basic little medikit of what to have in the home.
Yes. Well, what I would recommend is firstly, for parents who really need a little bit of assistance with this, because sometimes it depends on the child and on the circumstances, is that they we have a free helpline on the Feel Good Health website, and it's also on WhatsApp and also on email. And if you'd like, I can give the details of that. And
we would
really love to help parents make the right choices, because everybody's, you know, money needs to turn over twice these days, and you don't want to waste money. So on our website, which is www.feelgoodhealth.co.za, you will have there's a chat box on the website which you can use, or you can WhatsApp 079-503-4532, or you can email help@feelgoodhealth.co.za, and we have trained staff that can assist with, you know, recommending the right products for parents. But I think importantly, the multivitamin, I really would say, you know, start with that one. We've got a great one on the website for kiddies. Then make sure that you've got the essential oils, eucalyptus and pine needle. Those two are very good in a diffuser. We also do have diffusers on the website. And then I would say that a natural immune booster, we have herbal immune boosters specifically for children, and those contain herbal ingredients which will help to strengthen the immune system. And they can be used preventatively, and they can be used as a sort of a natural antiviral when the child has the infection, to help the recovery, you know, speed up a little bit. And I think those are the core of what you need. We also have things like chest rubs, which have the essential oils infused in the chest rub, which are also, there's one especially for children, which they, you can, you know, once you've given the child a bath and maybe put a few drops of the oil, only a very few drops of the oil in the bath, and then do a chest rub, and even put, as our grandmothers did, a little bit of that chest rub underneath the baby or the child's feet and put them to bed. And there's a coldness diffuser in the room to bring moisture into the air and also to infuse those essential oils while the child is sleeping.
Nelly,
that is the core of them.
Yes. Nelly in Pretoria is asking, I hear your guest talking about cold mist diffuser. Please, can she explain to us why cold and not a warm mist one? Is there a difference?
The reason why it's called a cold mist diffuser is because traditionally the essential oils would be put into almost like a little bowl, and there'd be a candle underneath to warm the water.
Yes.
And then diffuse. Now, you don't really want an open flame in a child's bedroom at nighttime. It's just not a safe thing to do. So the diffuser is an electric device. It plugs into the wall, and it does warm the water, but then it almost like puffs the steam out into the air with the essential oils in it, and that's why it's called. I think it's more cold as opposed to the flame.
Yes. Okay, I understand. And of course, just for that person that sent through that, that there is a difference between a humidifier and a diffuser. You can actually get both. Yes. Michelle, thank you so much. Just for me to repeat the details for all the listeners, feelgoodhealth.co.za, the WhatsApp line 079-503-4532, and you can also get assistance help at feelgoodhealth.co.za. Thank you so much, Michelle Carlson, founder and CEO of Feel Good.